Okay, I wish everybody a good day. We're here on the sixth day of the month of Av, 5780, the 27th day of the month of July, 2020. I'm moving closer to Tisha B'Av, the Yom Shehuchbalu Botzaros, Yom Hamar HaVehanivhar, the day of national tragedy of the Jewish people across the generations. I wanted to continue a little bit of our discussion of the great leader of the Jewish people, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Yesterday we discussed how he was able to create a culture in Yavne that was a direct repudiation of Sinas Chinam, that was based on mutual respect, and Iberia, v'chaver Iberia, how careful he was to greet everybody, lo yigdimo adam shalom eolam. And I wanted to develop the personality of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, with your permission, a little bit further today. Perhaps most famously, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, according to the Gemara Masech Tegitin, and Daf Nun Zayin, has this remarkable encounter with the Roman general who was besieging Yerushalayim, Vespasian, who would go on to be the emperor, and he, in a prophetic moment, is able to share that news with Vespasian, and therefore he's granted three requests. Now, what's perhaps most notable is what he didn't ask for. He didn't ask for that the Beis HaMikdash should be salvaged. And this was to the consternation of many of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's colleagues, including, according to one view in the Gemara, Rabbi Akiva, Meshiv Chachamim Achar V'da'atam Yisachel, that the wisdom of the great sage was somehow lost at this critical moment. But it was not that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai wasn't courageous enough, but Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai articulates a different vision based on what he refers to as Hatzala Porta, that we're not in a position to ask for everything. What we're in a position is to strategically think about what it means to reconstitute the Jewish people. So number one, Tein Liyavne V'Chachamea, a recognition that an intensive focus on Torah study will help restore the Jewish people in the broader sense. As the Gemara famously says, Halo osi azavo v'sarasi shamaro, it would have been so much better if the Jews had abandoned the Beis HaMikdash but kept the Torah, mitoch ma'or sheba machzirin lemutav, that the illumination of Torah would have led them back on the correct path. So that's number one, that there always has to be a commitment to Torah study. Remember all the way back in Parshas Truma, the Torah level prohibition of B'tabeos ha'aron yu abadim lo yasuru mimenu, that you can never take the poles uniquely out of the aron, because it's a vessel that has to travel with the Jewish people everywhere. Torah is the water of Jewish life. It is what allows us life itself. That's for the present. Okay. The next item that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai requested was Shoshilasad the Rabbi Gamliel, the divinic line should be preserved. He was playing the long game. Of course, he knew that in the future, the salvation and the redemption of the Jewish people would indeed be predicated on there being a Nir Leves David, a descendant of David, but he was prepared to do the hard work of spiritually rehabilitating the Jewish people, and then in God's good time, Anistaros LaHashem Elokeinu, nobody knows, and nobody knows this very day, and we don't try to guess at it either. When God's good time, there will be the right person available, descendant of David, to reassume that mantle, Ad Ki Avo Shiloh, Velo Yikasamim. That was the second element, and so that was very much future-oriented. But then there's a remarkable third request. Asvasa de Reb Tzadok. He asked the Roman general for the finest doctor to treat Reb Tzadok, who the Gemara just one page earlier on Daf Nun Vav told us had been fasting 40 years to avert the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. And here you see Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai as a true leader. A true leader doesn't only think in terms of the macro, but he has an understanding of personal micro needs. This is what made Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai so great. It was not just his vision to understand that simply to save the Beis HaMikdash would have only perpetuated the spiritual ills of the Jewish people, to think that somehow they were invulnerable. They needed this Churban in a certain sense, and they needed to rebuild and to regenerate themselves from it. So he had that broader vision, but he also understood the needs and the suffering of particular individuals, especially Rabbi Tzadok, who had been Moser Nefesh, who sacrificed so much for 40 years so that the catastrophe might have been averted. it wasn't diverted. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai felt that it was critically important that his life be saved. Let's not forget the Mishnah in Sanhedrin, Olam achas mi Yisrael, nevesh achas mi Yisrael, one life of the Jewish people is itself in Olam Malay, worth even more than the Beis HaMikdash, is the life of one Jew, is the life of Rabbi Tzadok. It was the macro, and it was the micro altogether. I'd like just to take things, to your permission, one step further. I mentioned that the Gemara quotes that there were those who were most scandalized. Not only did they disagree, but in the most strenuous possible terms, that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai did not request the salvation of God's house. And again, their response was, Meshiv Chacham Machar V'daitam Yisachel, that Rabbi Kiva was amongst them. Now, normally when we face this kind of critique over such a significant issue, a defining issue, the natural instinct for all of us is to be defensive and to say it never would have happened anyway, and to even deride those who disagree with us. But the Gemara in Brachos and Daf Kafchas tells us of the passing of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. His closest students went to see him at that critical moment, and they saw that he was weeping, and they said, Ner Yisrael, the light of Israel, Amud Hayamini Patish HaChazak, the pillar of the Jewish people, Mipnei Ma'ata Bocha, how are you crying? Why would you possibly be crying? You know that you're about to gain your eternal reward. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai explains that he does not know that he's entitled to such a reward. He doesn't know which derech they are going to be molichin oso. There's shnei derachim lefanai. He's open to the possibility that maybe he made a mistake. We don't believe that he made a mistake, but there was no defensiveness about it. There was a sense of perhaps my critics were right. And I can't think of a better repudiation of the highly destructive, corrosive sinas chinam, fraternal hatred, that defined the era that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had to express his leadership in. I can't think of a better repudiation of sinas chinam than that. Sinas chinam is based on people believing that they're right, that they're always right, that others are wrong, they don't understand, not respecting the views of others. On the contrary, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, maybe I was wrong, maybe my judgment was in fact not correct. And that openness to one's vulnerability, the fact that one could possibly be making a mistake, despite the fact that Yavne turned into incredible success, and he could have simply said to everybody, you were wrong and I was right. So I think that what we see Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's greatness here in terms of being able to continue to ask serious questions as to whether, you know, he behaved appropriately or not. And one small addendum, the last two comments of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's life very much resonate in terms of the three things that he asked for of Vespasian. He says to those who are there, Pinu keli mipnei hatumah, there are certain kinds of vessels in Judaism that if they're in a room where somebody passes away, and Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai felt that he was passing away, so those kelim will become tameh and there's no way of purifying them. In other words, there will be a loss of however much money, again, small amounts of money these vessels were worth. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai didn't want anybody to have to suffer, even in a relatively minor way financially, from his demise. So just like he continued to think of Reb Tzadok, think of the micro issues, and not only the macro issues, he's continuing to think of the micro issues here as well. And he says, the final comment is, V'enichu makom l'chizkia, Melech Yehuda Sheba. He says, I see that Chizkiah, one of the great kings of the Davidic line of Malchus Beis David, is coming, Lelavo Sosi, is coming to escort me to the next world. And I believe this to be a reference to his saving that Davidic line itself, that this was a cosmic or divine expression of gratitude that Chizkiah came to accompany Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai down the path to the Olam HaEmet, to his eternal reward, because this is the Gemara's way of saying that God himself understood that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai correctly was playing the long game to preserve the Davidic line, to make sure that the spiritual core of the Jewish people, Tein liyavne chachameha, would be secured, and of course to continue to worry about the small needs, which are not small, but the small needs of people, pinu kelim mipnei hatuma. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai goes down as a figure who almost single-handedly wasn't just able to shepherd the Jewish people through this time, but that he was able, through the force of his persona, through through his personal characteristics and singular refinement to be able to model for the Jewish people and serve as a paradigm of what Ahavas Yisrael, of what Ahavas Habrios, love of fellow Jew and love of all people, could really be, and to allow them to recreate a society not based on messianism or this constant drive towards the eschatological age, but by focusing on the here and now, the small vessels that will become impure, the one who needs a doctor, and the daily work that went on in Yavne and Torah study, and to stepwise take one step forward every single day, small steps on the path towards redemption.